whether you're getting away or getting amongst it. Time to catch up on Kennedy Malloy with the Holden Colorado. Now with 7 years free scheduled servicing across the 4x4 range, you're free to take on anything. Visit Holden.com for more details. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Yes, hello, Australia. Welcome to the big Thursday. That's right, Thursday edition of Kennedy Malloy. Hello, Jane.
Hi, Mickey.
Hello, Dangerous Dave.
Hi, Mick. Hi, Jane.
How are we all feeling today?
Not too bad.
You went a bit mad last night.
I didn't go mad.
Surprised to even see you here.
I beg your pardon. I'm all right.
Dave, you were quite restrained. We'll get to that in just one moment. Hey, a big show coming up Thursday. You know what that means, don't you, Jane?
Thursday is Gone Wild.
Gone Wild.
Yes.
I love Gone Wild.
And it's never disappointing, the stories
Give
we
us
find.
One.
A dog that drives a car, but backwards.
You've got me. I cannot wait.
Yeah, it's good.
We have got some very special guests on today's program. Russell Howcroft, friend of the show, will join us.
Final Gruen for the year.
Last night.
Sad. It's been a great season.
It has indeed. Adam Spencer.
Oh yeah,
has
I love to talk to Adam.
Out.
Smart man.
So we'll get to the bottom of that. It'll be something to do with maths, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Well, it might not be.
I bet it is.
Might not be. I'm sure that Adam can talk about other things other than maths.
Well, sport.
He makes maths easy for us.
Sport.
Yeah.
But I just know the way his mind works.
Do you?
Yeah.
No, you're good like that.
Few of us who think analytically all the time.
Well, then maybe you better not talk to Paddy Cummins and I'll talk to him.
I love Pat Cummins.
All right, you're allowed to talk to Pat Cummins.
Pat Cummins is in. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to play back to him something Nathan Lyon said about
him on our show.
Wow. Well, let's get a feud going.
Careful. Keep the team together, please.
That'll be good. We're going to go around the ground. State of the nation. Queensland are mooting in a public holiday. Sydney lockout laws.
This is a big result.
Finally.
A big result and a back down from Gladys.
It's a big news for the Melbourne Storm. Yeah. We'll take a call.
And the Arias last night too.
Are we going to do a wrap up?
We will.
There was some interesting stuff there. All good.
Yes, all good.
All good. We were out, of course. I missed the Arias. So we were having our Christmas dinner, was it? What do you call it?
Yeah. Well, it was our team catch up.
Christmas.
Final end of year dinner.
Yeah.
Yes, we did. 11 of us.
Can I just put it to you?
What?
Who was the first to leave at
you.
A reasonable hour and respectable?
Yes, it was you.
Ha-ha!
Well, you're a bit sort of...
Well, the grog squad.
You're a bit girly squat.
Yeah, why did
I've got to get up early in the morning. I've got to get up at 7. I'm doing a TV show. Well, you are. You're doing front bar tonight.
I'm doing front bar tonight.
Did have a big day, and you have had a big day.
That's
so
right.
We allowed you to leave early.
Still Ricky Ponting on tonight, front bar.
That'll be fantastic.
Yeah, and Doug Walters. Huge. So tune about. So what time did you leave? What time did you get home?
I can't remember.
Did I see the bill? Can I have a look at the bill?
Why? You don't need to
well,
see
I'd like
the bill.
To know no, what you are.
No,
not
I'm
your
not
going
to tell you. It's not your business. Only for me to know and everyone else, not you.
The food was unbelievable, by the way.
We're at Matilda's. Great. God. Scotty Pickett, thank you very much.
What, best I've ever had.
We paid for it, by the way.
Yeah, we did.
Yes.
I did a runner.
you guys ended up paying. And it was a lovely, it was a funny meal. It was,
awesome. We had a great night.
Good
it was
luck.
Great. Hey, listen, it's fun when something or a news story affects you and it sneaks up on you and you didn't quite get there. But Clive James passed away.
Yes, we knew he was really unwell.
Overnight. He was died at the age of 80. He was a writer, TV broadcaster and critic, but he was quite an important character in Australian
I just thought he was
development. He was
eloquent, funny, engaging.
Was, well, I think Parkey in an interview called him the thinking woman's crumpet.
That's right.
I have to
I think he quite enjoyed.
Yeah.
He was part of that big expat movement when a lot of Aussies moved to London and they were pretty powerful, towering. Jermaine Greer and many
That's
others.
When she went,
and
yeah.
they were towering figures and they were big.
Well, they were they got sick of Australia for a bit, and it's pent up world, and they went to be a bit more freer, I guess.
But he was a smart guy. He was bloody funny, and he was a good writer. And Maddie Dow today has just cobbled together a few bits and pieces, which is
his voice is so recognisable too when you hear it.
Have a listen to the late great Clive James.
Australian poet, critic and broadcaster.
Clive James has passed away at the age of 80.
A pioneer of Australian writing.
He hosted primetime television shows on both the major networks here, the BBC and ITV, throughout the 80s and 90s.
Welcome to Wembley Stadium. The biggest studio audience in television history, 100,000 people.
When the decade began, people asked themselves, what was the greenhouse effect? And would it help with the early tomatoes? Would Prince Charles ever meet a girl he could fall in love with? And would Prince Andrew ever meet one he couldn't?
James rubbed shoulders with celebrities, talked about TV, and became one of Australia's great champions abroad.
It's my mission to tell in my work that Australia is a wonderful place.
You just later returned from home, from
yes,
Australia.
Yes, I was there for the Olympics. This is a little-known statistic. Of all the visiting foreign athletes to Australia for the Olympics, 130 are still missing. But they've seen Australia and they love it, and they're right. Of course, it is the promised land.
There was his witty commentary and dry remarks about television here in Britain that really captured the public's imagination and led him to become a broadcasting star.
He's original, he's bold, he's outspoken. He is possibly the most discussed, some say the most disgusting Scottish comedian since John Knox. He is Billy Connolly.
You've said that when you write prose, you, quote, try to write the phrase that will get past people's defences and get right into the middle of their head.
I once said that all I do is turn a phrase until it catches the light. You've got to turn a phrase that people are startled by.
I was the first person ever to describe Arnold Schwarzenegger as a brown condom full of walnuts.
2 years ago now, a lot of people thought you were about to die.
Grim truth is that I did die. And it's my ghost that's talking to you now. And I can't pull the same stunt twice. You see the problem?
My ashes should go back to Sydney and they should be scattered just under the southern approach to the Harbour Bridge. That's a good spot.
There you go. A life well lived. Important figure. You cast a big shadow over our cultural landscape. Well done to you, Clive James. When we come back, let's take a look at what's going on around the country.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
Russell Howcroft to join us in the second hour. Adam Spencer's coming up and Pat Cummins as well. Huge day.
Very good. Can I say sanity has finally prevailed in Sydney The lockout laws will be wound back from January 14. It was a bold experiment. I think it's fair to say, as a younger person who works on a music station and likes live music, and others, it failed.
Yep.
Its intentions were great, and there still has to be this issue with people getting stonkered late night.
Well, it doesn't mean you get a return to everyone carrying on. That. Don't be an idiot.
But there need to be some balance, and Sydney had dropped the ball, and one of the biggest cities in the world that's so well known, instantly recognisable, drop dead gorgeous. It was a bit dowdy. You couldn't go. Couldn't do anything after.
Where's the action? What's going on? Also, it was difficult for bands to live music, for restaurants and bars. It affected.
It was a free.
Everyone.
It was a free kick to other states who were advertising a burgeoning and a robust nightlife, while the jewel in the crown just sat there idle, shut, lights out, not open for business.
We've got the premier announcing it today.
From the 14th of January, the lockout laws will be gone, except for King's Cross. The reason why we've chosen that date is to give all stakeholders enough time to come to terms with what's happening and to prepare, and to also allow our citizens to adjust to those changes that are happening from that date.
She'll be the first one in the mosh pit. She will be stage diving, biting the heads off bats at live music venues, because that's the way she was. It didn't work. You know, there was people out in suburbs, and it just pushed people out there. So
yes, it didn't change. It didn't change the behaviour.
It ruined a lot of the fabric.
Do you know what I'm glad about? They've actually have backed down.
Good on them.
Yeah, it's not even backing down. They considered it and they just said, "All right,
you know what? Let's turn it around."
Yeah, I'm glad.
Okay, sanity has prevailed. Let's go to Queensland. Christmas Eve has just become a public holiday, so this is huge. So they now get. If you're listening in Queensland, you'll enjoy this. You get Christmas Eve, Christmas, and Boxing Day.
You get three in a row.
That's a pretty good.
And you know what? Because Christmas Day's on a Wednesday, from memory, this year, I think.
You might be right.
Oh, God.
Neither confirm nor deny.
Yes, so it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Oh, who's going to return to work on the Friday?
No one.
And then the weekend.
That's got unofficial public holiday all over.
100%.
That's fantastic. Why does everyone else get that off? Would shops be shut? You can't shut the shops on Christmas Eve, can you? You've got to get all your
6
o'clock. Who wants to do that? But hang on, people are going to be outraged by this.
Why?
Well, first of all, now you'll have to pay rates. You'll have to pay public holiday rates.
You are the biggest Debbie Downer I've ever
met. No, I'm not. I'm saying this is. I don't think everyone's going to be happy about this.
Why?
So it's going to cost business.
It's going to cost business. You're a business. You're running a business on Christmas Eve.
I'm running a business. I own a brewery.
Mm.
Right.
It's called Brick Lane.
You want no one to buy your beer on Christmas Eve, which one of the biggest nights of the year. Yeah. Okay. Let's think about it.
I'm got a Brick Lane. I'm quite happy. But what about late? No, here's where I'm worried. Late shopping. Because let's be honest. Organisation isn't my strong suit.
You're worried about shopping on Christmas Eve.
That's when I do all my shopping, about between 6 o'clock and like 10 o'clock at night on Christmas Eve.
I'd love to see you shop. Can I take a camera?
I shop till I drop.
I don't think I've ever seen you with a bag.
It's like that montage from Pretty Woman. And off I go.
Oh, my
God. Bit of Roy Orbison.
I'd love to see you in a shop.
This is interesting. We probably do need to. Is this good or bad? Give us a call if you're listening.
What do you think about this in Queensland? It's already been passed in Parliament.
All right. Hey, and we've got another one. And this is for our Melbourne listeners.
Yeah.
You can be mightily proud today. The Melbourne Storm have been announced the best sporting team in Australasia over the last 5 years. They've topped a poll. 16 different competitions. They've gone the last 5 years, wins, loss, ratios, how you've stood, and number one, Melbourne Storm.
I'll tell you who'll hate that. Sydney will hate that.
Mm. Well...
They will not like that Melbourne Storm.
No, they don't.
They do not.
They like anything to do with the Melbourne Storm. I'll probably strip them of that ranking as well.
What's the top? What are the top 10, top 5? Melbourne Storm.
Crusaders, Super Rugby second.
Yeah, all right.
New South Wales Breakers third. Mm. The Sydney Football Club, A-League. 5, Hurricanes. Yeah. There's a bigger mission here.
Hang on, what? Victoria, the Sheffield, and then the Richmond Tigers.
Oh, number 7.
They come number 7.
Can I tell you something? We are the biggest sporting club in the Southern Hemisphere.
Get over it, would you?
So who's done this list?
Yeah, but it's done on statistics and success, but we are the biggest. We have over 100,000.
I think Collingwood's bigger, isn't it?
You are an idiot.
Ouch.
Mate, we could swallow them whole. We could gulp them just like, we could absorb them. Do you know what? We might merge with them if they want to become the Richmond Tigers. We are the biggest club in Australasia.
Okay, but let's look at all the other sporting clubs, not just Richmond.
Well, I'm pretty happy just looking at Richmond. Richmond should be up the order.
I'm not sure I agree with this list at all. I think this is a PC list gone mad.
It's not a PC list. It's done... I'll show you how they've done it. Oh, I can't be bothered. Too much.
Spirit.
Too much.
That's the Kennedy Malloy spirit right there.
All right. Mick's got a big pub crawl happening thanks to Brick Lane in just a moment. Now, if you want to come, 133353, you've got to let us know what you're going to bring to the table.
What are you bringing to the table? What's unique about you? Yeah. Why would I like to shout you free Brick Lanes all night?
Give us a ring.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy. Christmas.
Calling out around Australia. Are you ready for the party of the year?
I got a really bad feeling about this.
Summer's close, and the time is right for mixed pub shots thanks to Brick Lane Beer.
What could possibly go wrong?
Nothing. Nothing will go wrong.
Four pubs, 4 days. It's a national pub crawl. Yeah.
And it's Brick Lane for everyone.
They're on board. I'm having one now. You can have a pale ale, a base, a One Love pale ale, or the base lager.
Yep.
Do you know what? At my bottle shop, my local Liquorland, there'd been no lager
there
all week.
That's because
I've gone in, I've tipped
it.
Stuff over, I've said, where's my Brick Lane?
I think you'll get an OBE for this.
Well, I should. I should. I love it. It's going to be great.
So you're going to the Breakfast Creek Hotel in Brisbane, you're at the Chippo Hotel in Sydney, the Mary Ellen Hotel in Newcastle, and the London Tavern in Melbourne.
And I hope they've all got rooms upstairs, because I'll be coming along, I'll be throwing we do the show.
What do you mean rooms upstairs?
Because I'll probably stay there.
Oh, I see.
Oh, okay.
I know where you're going.
Cut one from the herd.
Well, I don't know.
No!
Okay.
What I'm doing...
Yeah, because you're giving your all.
We're doing our two-hour radio show, and then I'm out there, you're back here at at Camp Quality, at the base, at Base Camp.
Mission Control.
Well, I'm out there... duking it out, frontline troops, entertaining the public. I've got bands, I've got comedians, I've got free beer, free Brick Lane. It's coming your way.
But it's a social occasion, it's a catch-up, it's for people who haven't got
a Christmas
party to go to.
It's a knock-off, it's your chance
to
get on board,
have a chance,
have some fun, let your hair down.
Mm.
I've got people on the line, I want you to tell me what you bring to the party.
Sure.
If you're a poo jogger. Give us a call. You might just get...
No, there's no poo joggers allowed.
I'd like to invite the poo jogger.
No, she's not allowed.
She's gone quiet.
I don't... Yes, she is. I think that might be litigious.
Oh, maybe she's constipated. Maybe she'll get us some Metamucil. Let's go get the poo jogger back out there.
All right, let's get someone on the line. We've got Jen from Newcastle. Hello, Jen.
Hi, how are you going?
Yeah, good. Really
what do you bring to the table?
Well, I'm a cab driver, so I can get us home.
Yes.
Perfect, Jen, you're in.
Well done, Jen.
Perfect.
You're the designated driver.
And you know the Newcastle area well, so bang.
And by the way, all callers get a slab of Brick Lane as well today. So that's a slab of Brick Lane coming your way,
lucky
Jen.
Everyone is.
You'll be coming to our Newcastle gig.
Yep,
thanks,
brilliant.
Jen.
Thank you.
All right, we got Lauren on the phone from Orange, one of our favourite places.
Hello.
Hello, how are you doing, Lauren? You want to come along?
Yes, definitely.
You're
what,
in.
What are you bringing to the table?
Beautiful. So, I live in a town that's pubs burnt down, so we have no
what?
Beer.
Oh,
what the hell?
No.
You have a pub that's burnt down in your town?
No.
Yep.
Oh,
this has got working bee.
It
We're
does.
Getting all over it. We're going to get the whole community
out
like a barn raising.
Yeah.
Let's get Scotty Cam. When Scotty Cam hears there's a pub
we'll
that's
let
burned
him know.
Down, that's the whole series.
Totally.
Yeah.
We'll
rebuild that
him.
Pub.
Lauren, yeah. you're there with
you're
bells
there, Lauren.
On. Good on you.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see
it.
Thank you. Okay, Joe, what do you got, buddy? What do you want to do?
I want to bring my stomach to the table.
Your stomach?
Yeah.
How's that going to be amusing for me?
Yeah, I've got to eat all the food and all my witty jokes.
Well, you haven't got off to a flyer.
Yeah.
Sorry? Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, I don't know.
50-50 at the minute.
And then as well, they shut down our pub, our local pub.
Yeah, it's a late
You just heard the caller before.
Yeah, they shut down the Parkway Hotel.
Did they really?
Why did they shut
it
down?
Forest.
All right, Joe, you can tell Mick all about
you're
it
in,
when you say.
Oh, you're in. There you go,
you're going along,
there
Joe.
There it is. All right, Christy's on the line. Christy, what do you bring to the table? Why do you want to come?
It's not what I'm bringing, it's what I'm leaving behind.
What's that?
My three children.
Bang. I understand.
How old are they?
7, 5, and 2.
Great. We'll leave them in a car out the front.
Don't do that.
You come in, we'll have a ball, go, and we'll honk onto a couple of Brick Lanes. Christy, you're
well
in.
Well done, you're there. Right.
Thank you.
G'day, John. How you been going? What are you going to bring to...
Hey, Jane. Hey, Mick.
Yeah, good. Mickey will see you. What are you going to chat about?
Well, I've been on a bit of a health kick recently, and I've walked to the dark side. So I need Mickey, his Yoda-like skills to...
I'll get you back on the pony.
Yep.
Bring me back on, buddy.
Easy.
I will personally train you over a two-hour period with free Brick Lane.
Thanks.
Okay.
You're in, John.
I'll get you back Thanks, to your buddy. Former glory,
Can we
my
do
friend.
One more, one Eight quickie?
Slab of Brick Lane for John.
And,
Rob, yep. Rob, what do you got? What do you want to come, mate?
Mickey, Jane, dangerous. How you going? Oh, go.
Good.
Yeah, what do you got, buddy?
I've got a couple of moggies I can loan to you for a seek and destroy COVID operation on
the minor birds.
Minor
I got problem. Swooped again today.
Are you kidding?
I got hit on the friggin' head.
I told
it's
you
beyond
to film
a joke.
That for me.
I hate you.
Rob, you're in. Slab of Brick Lane for you, and I will see you in our Sydney show. I believe it's the Chippo.
It is indeed.
Don't forget Dan Murphy's. You can get your Brick Lane, Liquorland, BWS.
Demand,
Camp,
but if
coming.
It's
Demand
run
it.
Out.
Go yeah. and say, where's my
say,
Brick
get
Lane?
Get it in.
Mickey said.
So good.
All right, here we go.
It's Mixed Pub
see
Shouts
you there, people.
Next week, thanks to Brick Lane.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Much-loved comedian, TV and radio host, author and maths freak, Adam Spencer.
I see the world numerically. I live on number 155. When I moved in, I was talking to the woman next door. First time I ever spoke to her. She's in number 153 and I'm just blurting out 1 cubed plus 5 cubed plus 3 cubed equals 153. There's only three other numbers that happens for. 370, 371, 407. She just starts
backing away.
Backing towards I haven't seen her for 8 years.
He's got a new book, Adam Spencer's Numberland, described as 2019's most captivating nerd fest. And the man behind it joins us right now as we welcome back to the show.
What's the combined losing total of the last three Sydney Swans grand final losses?
I think we're out of time.
Adam Spencer.
Hello, Adam.
Hello, Adam.
How are we going?
It's great to see you again.
Always.
And you
get
have
your
got
geek on.
Yeah.
That's right. You've written, I've got your book in front of me. It's called Numberland, and you wrote a great inscription for me. That just says pretty much that. Mick, unleash your geek. And it's signed, and I intend
and
to.
And thank you for signing mine too. Mine had a very different, much nicer
And speaking of geek, Adam, you're looking dangerously close to magician territory on the front cover there. Is that a look you've been pursuing for a while?
Well,
floating chess pieces, all magic going on. And
being a magician's very different to being a card trick master. It's a different
world altogether.
But I'm
saying the look is
well, it looks very
going
good.
Down the...
It's a great looking book, apart from that being a great looking book. We're going to talk about that.
Who's
in a minute.
For? What's it to? Talk us through what the book is.
It's two books in one. Half of it is actual mathematics. So beautiful mathematics. Don't panic. I hold your hand and walk you through really slowly. Some of it's stuff you wouldn't encounter till like second year uni, but we go one step at a time. There's puzzles, brain busters. The other half is just beautiful numerical trivia, telling the story of our world.
Give us a taste.
There's something called the Great Belly Button Biodiversity Survey. They sampled the bacteria in 60 people's belly buttons. Get this. They found over 2,000 different types of bacteria. 1,458 of them had never been recorded in science before.
Wow. How's that?
That is unbelievable.
Because it never gets out.
As my mate Dr. Carl said, if aliens came down and looked at us and saw the bacteria inside us, feeding off us, us carrying them around, they would think we were just delivery systems for bacteria.
It's like, well, you're saying my belly button's a little petri dish?
Oh, on average, you've got about 70 different types of bacteria floating around your belly button at any given time.
Wow, even if it's an outie, I'm still harbouring.
There's another fascinating one here.
What?
Now, I don't believe this one, but I'm going to say it anyway. 60% of people can't make it through a 10-minute conversation without lying. And research at the University of Massachusetts found that women were more likely to lie to make a person they're talking to feel good, while men lied more often to make themselves look better.
Yep.
Actually, yes, I do believe that.
Research by the University of Massachusetts Journal of Basic and Applied Social Psychology. The subjects told on average 2 to 3 lies, no matter male, female. But you're right. The women to try and make people feel a bit better.
Oh.
The guys to try and big note themselves. Mm. So when a woman was talking to a man, she was saying, "No, you're awesome. I really think you're awesome." He's going, "I'll tell you how awesome I am." And they were both just compounding.
That is amazing.
That's the way it
should
be. Yeah,
no, I'll take that one on board.
This is a stocking stuffer. It's great fun. I loved your last book. You have an incredible mind.
Well, you make learning, you make maths beautiful, you make it easy for us to understand, us duds who don't get it. So that's great.
That's the idea, guys. Thank you. If you've got that nerdy little cousin, you're thinking, I can't buy him another Doctor Who DVD.
Oh, that's fantastic.
This is what they want.
And a quote from Russell Crowe on the cover, which I enjoy. Now, how did this relationship come to pass?
I've bumped into Russell occasionally, done a couple of charity events and things like that with him. Lovely guy and a really deep, thoughtful man. And his portrayal of John Nash in A Beautiful Mind
is
just one of the most glorious, not since Matt Damon got his shirt off and solved those problems on the whiteboard, has a mathematician been so sexy.
And
Beautiful
I know
Mind,
that
is that like a porno for you? Is that right? Did you just go on?
And Russell insists that, and it was mathematically correct too, all that. Imagine he would have researched that. He's not going to not have it correct on that.
I still remember the sullen look in his face when he didn't win the Oscar. He's a good actor, but he couldn't hide his disappointment in that particular moment.
Adam, you were saying off air, you may have a solution or a story about minor birds who are still continuing to peck at my friend's head.
I'm seriously, I've had enough. It's
fair to say, Mick, you have been rabbiting on about a little bit, haven't you? I did a bit of research on the minor bird, or the Acrodotheres tricus, as it's known. 23 centimetres of pure pest. They are officially pests in South Africa, North America, the Middle East, Australia, New Zealand, and many Pacific islands.
Oh.
Yep.
Introduced into Australia in Victoria in the Melbourne Market Gardens to control insects in the 1860s.
They've been here for a long time.
And there are 100 animals around the world, 100 invasive species that are labelled official of invasive species around the world. There are only 3 birds. The minor
is one
of them.
It's made a very powerful enemy.
Along with the red-vented bulbul and the European starling, miners mate for life because no one else will touch them, and they are known as the cane toads of the sky.
They're mating for life, and they've made a nest in the alcove leading into my house, which is why they've taken to me, because every time I come in and out, I'm perceived as a threat.
And they attack Mick and his mum, so it's a double-edged sword.
I'm going to any information on how to kill it?
Oh, no.
Well, no, it's an interesting one, because the RSPCA a couple of years ago, when people sort of talked about the minor bird problem in Australia and talked about laying traps and all that, the RSPCA were saying, look, that's really not the coolest thing to do. But Mick, I think I've seen this before in movies. Everything's cool, there's the bad guy, and then someone crosses the bad guy's mum. Yeah. And there is hell. You're going to go Liam Neeson on this minor bird.
I'm thinking of getting like a falconer arm, you know, and trying to tone. Hey, we mentioned Clive James at the start, Adam. You've crossed, he was an important towering figure in literary and entertainment and culture.
I met Clive James once at the University of Sydney. He'd received an honorary award, and a small group of us went out to lunch afterwards. And you know what it's like when you meet a hero?
Yes. Yeah.
And if you actually do something that slightly impresses them, so we were sitting around the table, and some lovely old duck said something in the conversation that had a bit of an accidental, slightly saucy double meaning. And right. I just said under my breath, first time I've heard it called that, and no one else heard anything. Clive heard it, and he chuckled a little bit and gave me a wink. And as we were shaking hands after the lunch and all, I said, lovely to meet you, mate. And he goes, no one else heard it. And I thought that was very funny.
Wow.
I walked around feeling 12 foot tall for the rest of the day because I'd made Clive James giggle.
And he had a very a sly, brilliant sense of humour. So if you've made him laugh, you've done well.
Now, everyone get on to Adam Spencer's Numberland. All good bookstores, I imagine, Adam.
Can we give away a copy? Can we give us a call? 1-3-4-3. We'll give you Jane's copy.
No. No one's having my copy. It's signed to me. Adam's written in it. Jane, yours in nerdiness. No one's having my book.
All right, Adam. Thanks for that. Numberland's the book. Adam Spencer's the author. Congratulations. You've done it again. Cheers, mate.
Absolute pleasure, guys. Bad luck, minor bird.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Pat Cummins is not too far away. He's going to join us. And Russell Howcroft in the second hour, too.
And just before we get to the hours, I just want to say happy anniversary to my mum and dad.
Oh.
57 years.
Did someone I saw your phone go off. Did someone remind you?
No, I already sent them a message this morning, and they're out for lunch.
What'd you send them? What'd you give them, lunch? Flowers or?
No,
what'd you get them?
Just a greeting, and thought that I'm their daughter.
After everything they've done for you, that's
I've given
the
them enough.
I bet you Carrie gave them something nice.
Oh, Carrie's favourite child.
Well, do you know what? You've got to earn that.
I'll give them Adam Spencer's book. There you go.
Re-gifting.
Oh, well, so, how many years have they been married?
57. 1962 they got married. And they're still absolutely sicklingly in love. And they hold hands when they walk down the street.
That is very sweet.
That is a lovely, lovely
it's
story.
It's a lovely thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. good work all. Hey, yes. Let's get into the Arias.
Let's get into the Arias, and it was
a
big night.
I've won three Arias. God.
Yes, we do know.
Just put it.
All right. Congratulations to Guy Sebastian, too. Did a great job hosting.
Yep.
But Tones and I, well, we knew she was going to win lots of awards. Here's her accepting the award for Best Female Artist.
Hello. I wrote this speech. Sometimes I don't think that I'm the most relatable female artist. I'm not into makeup or dresses or typically girly things. But to me, those things don't really define what it is to be a female artist in this industry anymore. Thank you. It's being brave and courageous and true to yourself. No one could have ever prepared me for the whole world judging me and comparing you to other artists. But what's most important is that you have to be a good person and care about others and carry yourself well. So thank you. Thank you to Australia for letting me know that I'm okay just the way that I am.
Oh, congratulations Tony Watson.
That's a good speech.
Good, isn't it?
Totally concur.
Really, to what? It stands out a mile for me. Well, that is just
Well, they're normally so rehearsed and self-conscious.
Oh,
and that was
cheesy.
A genuine thank you. And
there were some amusing speeches. They were not supposed to be amusing.
Really impressed with that.
Yeah, I was too. I thought it was great. The Hilltop Hoods one. And let's have a listen to their acceptance speech.
Thank you to everyone that came out to see us on tour. Thank you to our manager, Dylan Liddy.
We love you. And Jeffrey Epstein did not kill himself.
Okay, that's pretty random.
The boys, someone's been on the bongs again.
Yeah, right.
It feels of all timing an interesting for him.
It's inappropriate, Hilltop Hoods. Why would you use a big stage and a big occasion like that to say something as dark and terrible?
On. What about your acceptance speech back in Knot? Have a listen to this.
You can't talk.
For the funniest record of all time goes to Martin Malloy for
Somewhere deep inside me, there lurks a darkness that's telling me to kill and kill again.
Why would you say that?
What are you talking
about? On your night of nights?
It's really
silly. That's all we remember you for now.
Yeah.
It was one of my three acceptance speeches.
Oh.
You
oh,
could
God,
have got the other two because I won three arias.
Hmm.
Oh, hey, what was the other big news on the night?
There was a wrong winner announced,
oh, what?
Wasn't there? Yes, yeah. Have we got that? Yeah, let's have a listen.
Goes to Paul Kelly.
We were given the wrong envelope. This is a classic. The winner is Moonlight. It's Moonlight, everyone. So did I say La La Land? I got this all backwards. The best independent pretend that never happened goes to
Tanzania. I don't get it.
Well, they said the winner was Paul Kelly.
But he wasn't in that category.
No.
But
no.
Paul Kelly did win.
Yeah, he did.
Yes, he did win, but not for
so
that
they
award.
They opened the wrong category.
Yeah. Yes, they did.
So they didn't announce the wrong winner. They were announced the wrong category.
Oh, God, don't get nitpicky.
Well, so it's not as
well, from all reports,
that
wasn't broadcast either. That was...
Oh, wasn't it?
No, they stopped it and went back and...
So how did you get your hands on it?
Oh, because we're in the music biz.
Yeah.
Hey, put your hand up here if you've won three hours.
Comedy album.
Oh,
where was all the songs? Did you do songs? Where's the songs on your records?
I do songs. I'm not going to sing them. I'm not like a performing seal.
Aren't
just,
you? Come on, where are your jokes?
Perform on cue.
We spoke about Paul Kelly, who won Best Adult Contemporary Album. So how about
we
get that
a song?
On?
Oh, this and him and Dan Sultan won Best Kids Recording,
this
too.
This is a great, great song.
Oh, yeah, it's a good song.
Do it.
Pat Cummins next.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Oh, summer for Pat Cummins and the Australians are away. Instant gone. Cummins, Mr. Reliable, strikes again.
Catch it.
Shout by the Australians. Blaine loves it. So does Paddy Cummins.
Oh, it's a beauty from Cummins. He's just too good at the moment. World's leading wicket taker in this calendar year gets another.
And the best fast bowler in the world is joining us on the line right now from Adelaide, I'm presuming. How are you, Pat?
G'day.
Good to
well,
see you. Thanks for swinging by. Congratulations on your deeds at the Gabba. It was a great team performance. I need to ask you and get your opinion on this because on the first day it was hotly debated. How do you feel coming on at none for 26? Are you comfortable at first change when shines off the ball?
Yeah.
A couple of bozos have already had a crack at it and come up empty and then they throw you the chariot. Is that okay by you?
Oh, I'd prefer if it was 4 for 26.
That's what I was thinking.
That's right.
No, I'm totally fine. Those the big two have been going well for a few years, so I'm happy to slot in behind them. And I think I've got the newborn, the second innings. I actually can't remember, but it might be something we share around every now and then. But no, all good. Hopefully they take a few up front, though.
There was some great stuff at the Gabba. I love a Shane. It's just a great story. What about Smith? Should Smith be dropped for the set for the next test? He's failed at test level. What was he out for? Steve Smith. Was he out for four?
Yeah, I think that's a fair call.
Don't let him encourage you. Sorry, Pat.
That's got 12th man written all over it, I reckon. Let him carry the drinks and have a think about it. And play himself back into form through the twos.
That's it, yeah. No, I think that's fair. It was funny, actually. When he walked off, it almost looked like he didn't know what to do with himself. He ended up going for a run home.
Did he?
He's like, I've got to get rid of some energy.
He ran 3 kilometres back to the team hotel. And then
hilarious.
Later said in an interview, when he hits 100 to reward himself, he gives himself a chocky bar.
Oh,
as you can see, I've knocked up a few tons in my time.
Taking his advice.
Hey, now, Pat, you are in Adelaide. It's the second test. It's a famous cricket ground. It's not always a bowler's paradise, but what are we looking forward to? How's the team looking going into Adelaide? Are you looking forward to that? How do you go on that pitch personally?
Yeah, I'm obviously really excited coming off a great win last week, but... Yep. Since I reckon I've been playing the last 6 or 7 years, for me, Adelaide's my favourite venue. I think what they do at day-night test cricket is great. Not only the stadium is full, but even better, the marquee tents out the back are full and the beer's flowing. So,
my natural habitat, Pat.
You're thinking ahead, Pat.
I have to say, the pink ball test, that last session in the evening, as a bowler, The ball moves around. It's like it magically transports from, you know, a straight up and down track to all of a sudden the ball's doing a lot. It's all happening. And there's a ripple of excitement that goes around the ground.
Now, we spoke to Nathan Lyon the other day, didn't we?
We did just speak to Nathan Lyon on this program, and we were talking about the fast bowling stocks. I'm going to play you a grab, and I'll get you to respond.
Here we go.
My one beef with the Australian bowling lineup is not enough facial hair.
No, I totally agree. They're a bunch of pretty boys, if you ask me. Especially led by Pat Cummins.
All right, you've dubbed him in, fair enough.
Would you like to respond to that, Pat, at all?
Well, I mean, I'd say I've definitely got more head hair than Nathan.
Well, there's a start.
That's right. He used to be a groundskeeper in Adelaide. He could probably get them to 10 minutes.
You haven't gone for the barista.
A bit of roundup on there.
Yeah. You haven't gone for the barista look yet, Pat.
No, not. I mean, to be honest, I like to use a Gillette Pro Shield 5 every morning.
Oh, yeah, mate. Nice. There's a plug in. Oh, very nice.
Oh, good.
Hey,
this
Pat,
guy is good.
Something happened to you that is my worst nightmare, and I tell the kids to never do this, and that's slam doors around the house. And unfortunately, your sister slammed the door accidentally, of course, when you were about 3, and lopped the tip of your finger off. Is that true?
That's 100% true. Oh, I was waving a lollipop through the bathroom door for some reason, and she came and slammed the door right on my finger.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And it came off. Now, doesn't Brett Lee, isn't he suggesting that you might have a slight advantage because you've got two even fingers and it might aid the ball coming out with a nice seam position when you're bowling?
Yeah, maybe. Look, I probably wouldn't suggest it to anyone that's listening.
Yeah, don't do it on purpose.
You know what I call this? I call it finger tampering. Hey, Pat, we've got to let you go. Congratulations. Yeah. The team's in a great place. It seems to be a bit of energy around the troops. You seem to be enjoying your cricket. It's fun to watch.
We do
good luck
love
in
watching
Adelaide.
You,
it's,
yeah.
It's,
good
Adelaide
on you, Paddy.
Is one of the famous cricket grounds in the world, and I look forward to watching
it's,
the pink
it's
ball
so
test.
Enjoyable watching the team all together. We love it. So
good
thank
on you,
you.
Mate.
Thanks, Pat.
Best to all.
Great. Thanks so much for the support.
Good on you. See ya.
Pat Cummins joining us there. By the way, tonight 8:30 on Channel 7. The front bar is back.
Oh, yes.
Cricket edition.
Tell us who your guests are.
Our guests are Ricky Ponting and Doug Walters.
Yes,
thank
you.
It's going to be going off. We've got a couple of tickets to give away.
Right now. So if you'd like to be in the studio audience and you're in Melbourne
Come
and
on.
You can make it, give us a ring. 1-3-3-5-3. Russell Howcroft next.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
Yes, welcome to the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy. It's going to be an absolute cracker today.
Yes.
Animal Kingdom, Gone Wild. Mick and Jane, here we go. Give us something. One story.
Russian dairy farmers have given cows VR goggles in the hope that they will be happier and make more milk. Boom.
Wow. It's all of a sudden a load of fun out there in the paddocks.
It is.
We'll get to some Brick Lane winners, of course.
Yes,
we'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets, but let's start at the top with this bloke.
Last night, Gruen beat at home an amazing 11th season on ABC. And our next guest, Russell Howcroft, summarised a decade of analysing advertising with this.
The little 60 seconds of lovely little movies that, you know, get you excited about getting your hands around one of these things.
Lovely little movies?
There's a lovely... lovely little movies when they're at their best.
You're the guy who goes to the movies and walks out after they show the ads at the start.
And he's back now to talk all things advertising for the last time in 2019 as we welcome back Russell Howcroft.
Yes. And you do treat them like little movies, don't you?
Well, yes, they should be.
You hold them in high regard.
Well, they probably cost more than an Australian movie these days.
Probably by second, they probably do.
Yeah.
Right? When they're awesome, they are really little movies.
Can we start? I just want to congratulate you because I don't think we've spoken to you since it went to air, but to your documentary on Mojo was absolutely top shelf.
It was
an A+, and I loved watching it. And I was just, part of me just wanted to live in that
era. You were reminiscing. You want to live back in those days.
I want to live in the 70s.
Somehow it all worked out a bit better for you guys than it did for us women. Just saying.
Well, there was a little bit of that in there.
But it was good. And you know also why. You can tell when a project is really good because there's true passion for it. So there's no, you can't just have any knob come out and make a movie like that or a doco like that.
Just
have
this knob.
But you're a good knob because you know all about it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it was great.
Well, it's a documentary that actually rated.
Yes.
So that's really good, yeah. Right?
But can I say this? There's clearly an appetite and an interest for lifting the skirts on the advertising business.
Yeah.
Gruen is testimony to that. Mm. Your doco is testimony to that. Yeah. I love, whenever I get on a plane and they've got those docos on greatest ads around the world,
I agree.
It's my go-to because I do love when they get it right at such an economy of language and time and one note, you go, it just is beautiful.
Look, I know you've talked about this on Breakfast Radio around the country recently. But I'm still fascinated by the term Gruen and where it came from.
Yeah, I know.
Can you remind, because I'm sure there's some listeners who still don't know why it's called
what's
Gruen.
What's the Gruen transfer?
It is so interesting. So there was a fellow, an architect in the 20s and 30s in the US, and his name was Victor Gruen, and he did shopping centres. And he actually designed shopping centres to turn a browser into a buyer, right? So fascinating,
it's,
right?
It's quite, and he used to design them, didn't he, so that people would get lost?
Yes, that's right. I mean,
so it meant
like
they had
IKEA,
to,
right?
IKEA. So you had to see more shops to try and get out.
See and have product in your face.
Yeah.
And that browser to buy became known as the Gruen transfer. And so, and then when Andrew Denton came up with the, you know, the concept for the show, I mean, Andrew and I do pat each other on the back because I was the only person that said, that's an awesome name.
Yeah.
You know, I just thought Manhattan Transfer is really wild.
It's such a clever
name. And then, you know, and there's also a bit of heritage there with, you know, Denton because, of course, his production firm is Zapruder's other films. Mm. So he then gets to tell the Zapruder story. And then Gruen Transfer, you get to tell the Gruen story. So he's clever, right? We know he's clever.
No, well,
the Gruen
Transfer,
there's the highest selling photograph in the world was, well, I don't know if it's still the case, was Andreas Gursky. And it was a photograph of a shopping centre. And inside a supermarket, and it was collapsed in, so it had all the racks one after the other.
Right.
And it's just, you almost fall over. You're that hypnotized by the colour and the layout.
Gotta buy.
That's it. So anyway, well done to you.
Thank
now,
you
I heard you use the phrase empty nester.
Yes.
Are you, what does that mean?
How exciting have you got a kid is that? Oh,
what's
my
happening?
God.
You're done.
Well, I'm not really done. So we have three children. The truth is they are all still living at home, which we love.
Yep.
However, the youngest one, Louis, he's now officially finished school. He is at schoolies.
But there's no more school reports. There's no more parent-teacher. There's no more nights going up to school and doing all that palaver.
We are, so Kate
I mean, that's
and I,
great.
We're beside, no, right? Oh, my God. We're beside ourselves. So we've had Paulies.
Hang on, what about Schoolies? Where is he at Schoolies? Where is he?
He's at Byron Bay. Oh. But you've heard about
Is he pulling his weight? Because the Schoolies have done bugger all this year.
Well, Nick's very disappointed. They're behaving really well.
They're behaving really well either. Yeah. Well, the other thing for, so Louis isn't 18 yet.
Mm.
And it's like, so Louis, how are you getting on? It's like there isn't anything going on, really. Now, okay, we believe
you better not say this on air. The poor guy's probably trying to get into the beach hotel.
He's probably being hung upside down by his ankles out a hotel window as he's on the other end of that call.
I did manage to have a chat to him last night. We had a conversation about who Melbourne drafted. So, you know, that was good. We were pleased with that.
On that exciting and somewhat depressing note.
I'm so pleased he's finished school. It's good for him. It's
what do you do now?
Us.
What do you and Kate? That's a very interesting notion. There'll be a lot of parents in the same boat, I'm sure. Empty nesters for the first time. You're young.
We had 4 days away.
Really? And you went away.
It was just unreal.
Together?
Seriously.
Yeah, did you go together?
Yeah, we went together.
Wow.
And we enjoyed each other's company.
Oh, my God.
Maybe I'm exaggerating.
No.
Oh, so you still hold hands. I've seen you two swanning
you two
around
are
the neighborhood
so in love.
Like
it's
young
fantastic.
Lovers. You with your jumper tied up in a knot.
Like my mum and dad. It's great.
Hey, mate, can you hang around? Because you've got a new book out and we want to put you under the grill all about that. It's called The Right Brain Workout.
I'll get this and you won't understand it, Mick. I'll explain it to you.
Test me. Right after this, Russell Howcroft is with us.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Russell Howcroft is with us, author of The Right Brain Workout in bookshops next Tuesday, December 3, and this is Kennedy Molloy.
How do you get into the chairman's lounge? What's that about?
You don't ask for a start. I've told you this, and I'm being hooked up with you.
Yeah.
I just want to say to Alan Joyce,
separation.
Alan.
One in, all in, one out, all out, Jane. You know
I have nothing to do with Mick Malloy in any.
It's pretty nice.
You tell that Joyce to give me a call. Do you know him? You tell him he needs to give me a call and sort this.
No way. No, you've cooked your goose.
Oh. He's pretty good.
But Mr.
Pretty
Joyce.
Good. You are missing out on something there, Mick.
What happens in there? Yeah. Is there like an indoor waterfall?
Well, that's incredible stuff that goes on there. Oh, yeah.
Can you get a drink at 8 a.m.? Because I sort of struggle in the normal lounges.
You can get a drink at 8 a.m. Absolutely.
Is there someone playing a cello? What happened?
Well, no, you could make that happen. They're
people wandering around in togas?
Peter up there in Sydney, she's a champ.
Yeah. Harp, someone on a harp.
Yeah. Was that what you'd like?
All right.
Right. Fantasyland for
Let's
me.
Move on to your new book called The Right Brain, Workout. Tell me, so there's, I'm not getting femo on you in this again, I'm sorry, but this women and men succeed in different areas of the
Venus
brain.
Venus and Mars, yeah.
Who's the right brain, who's the left brain?
Oh, no.
Who's better at it?
No one's better at it. I mean,
Who's generally more...
History will just show.
I'm Googling it. Who's more...
Well, there's more... Women are more... Yeah, well,
there's empathy in right brain. There's creativity and there's empathy. But then you could also
is that right brain?
But, you know, if you go to... I'd say, it's a 50-50 thing.
You are so diplomatic. But the right brain is the creative side of the brain, right?
Yeah, so that's women.
It's lateral thinking and all that stuff. Yeah. Clearly a dominant part of my world.
Yeah. But what's
happening? I'm just saying, I don't do maths.
Excuse me.
I'm saying is my left side shit out.
Well, what's true is your right brain gets taught out of you, right? So the evidence is in. This is absolutely true. Yeah. So a five-year-old, like 95% of five-year-olds actually express high levels of creativity. Hmm. By the time they've let that 18-year-old's left school, it's not even in the tens. It's not even in the teens. It's like under 10%.
And why is that? Who do we blame for that?
Because it gets taught out of everyone.
It's like a muscle that you don't exercise.
Because you have to. Well, they're leaning towards other subjects that are not creative.
Yeah. So you have to do English. You have to do maths, but you don't have to do art. Like really, sort of simple stuff like that.
Yeah.
So as you get older, now this is a problem. Because as machine learning...
I'm just looking at me. I don't know what he's concocting in his head right now, but it's worrying me.
Let's just say the right side of my brain. It's
exercising. Exercise it, right? So,
this is fascinating to me.
Right? Yeah. So, but it's all about the future of work as well, because you have AI. It's going to take more and more jobs. There's machine learning. That's going to take more and more jobs. So the rational side is going to be taken up more and more by computers. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. That's potentially awesome. But it isn't that awesome if we're not exercising our creativity, because in the end, it's the creativity that does differentiate.
Well, a robot can't make a television commercial.
Well, they probably can. No, it just won't be that good.
A computer doesn't have a right side of the brain.
No, exactly. And so it's very interesting, because if you ask a computer a creative question... They don't really know how to answer it.
So, have you attempted this? I get the idea that you put this to the sword.
So, for the right brain workout, we've made some television commercials. And so, we've asked a computer some creative questions and we've turned this into a little TV commercial. So, let's have a listen to
it. Got one?
Yeah.
What's this about?
Hey, Google, if the moon wasn't the moon, what should it be called and how would you sell it as a tourist attraction?
Sorry, I'm not sure how to help, but I'm always learning.
Nada! Nothing! Sometimes creativity is the answer, but we all need to exercise it. This book will help you do just that.
Right?
Wow.
Hey.
Who's playing the Casio? the right side of his brain is not great.
No, true. What was it, the Hammond?
The Hammond organ.
So the computer, the much vaunted supercomputer, just goes, can't help you.
Through all these different silly equipment. They're all just
so what is the book designed to do? Is it designed to coax you into using the right side of your brain? Is it challenging the right side of your brain?
Yes,
is it a series of tests?
Yeah, they're just silly. There's no right answer, right? So there's just a question that says, okay, design your name as if it's a heavy metal band logo.
Oh,
right.
Yeah,
so,
I like that.
Right, so immediately you've got something in your head.
Like,
right?
So like Kiss, that font.
Yeah. Exactly. So and there's just all sorts
I want to use that font.
Oh, my God.
You use Slayer.
Use another one.
So imagine a game that's got three teams rather than two. What would you call it and what would the rules be?
Right. No, super chess.
Triad.
Yeah.
Super chess.
Yeah.
And it's on a triangle board.
Awesome.
And there's a new thing called the jester. Sits next to the king.
My power.
Yeah. And there's a stubby holder on the side for
cup holder.
Beautiful. Exactly. So what's happening is there's this sort of, there is a feeling that's going on around the world. Hang on a second. We do actually need to, you know, exercise creativity. And governments around the world are investing in it. It's like it's become something which is increasingly going to be
corporations teach lateral thinking and exercises like that, don't they?
Yeah, that's right. You know, and obviously the business that I've, you know, the business that I'm in is all around trying to apply creativity commercially and helping you get a sale. And it's true.
They're very interesting questions. And I tell you what, people could ask these each other on Christmas Day instead of the stupid jokes in the crackers.
Yeah. Well, let's do that.
Yes, you could say.
Everyone could buy one for Christmas.
You could say.
There's an idea.
This is stocking stuffer.
If you weren't allowed, a question would be, if you weren't allowed to mention your work, what would you say if someone asked you, what do you do?
I am the business.
Oh, great. Tick. 10 points. You win. Hey, we want to mention your son's band, Brungus' new song.
The Brungus.
Hide and Stay.
Hide and Stay. They made a beautiful video. I sent it out to some people.
Well, Dad's just talked all over it.
Let's have another go. Right, we'll go from the start. Here we go.
This is the Brungus. My beautiful girl, I know it's not easy.
What kind of typeface are they using? What are Brungus?
What's the font?
Would you help them?
Well, actually, daughter Claudia designed the Brungus logo.
Oh, well, that's good. They're a creative family.
And it looks pretty cool.
Using the right side of your brain in the Howcroft family.
The book's out next Tuesday, by the way.
Thank you.
The right brain workout.
That's right. Thank you very much.
Can you sign me a copy, please? Or do you want me to sign
your copy? Would you mind?
This is Kennedy Malloy. And Jane, Gone Wild.
I love this. It's my favourite segment of the week. Here we go. We've got a double banger. Mm. Two lots of Animal Kingdom. Jane, fire away. What do you got? What's the best story of the week?
It's combining two things that I'm enjoying at the moment. It's dogs and learner drivers.
What do you mean?
Well,
does it involve a dog?
A car all of a sudden was seen in a neighbourhood reversing around in a circle for about an hour. Right. And one of the residents in Florida thought it was just a learner driver. Mm-hmm. Have a load of this story.
I saw this car going around in a circle. And it was doing it for about an hour. And when the cops got the door open, a black dog jumped out. I was like, they should give that thing a license.
So the dog was driving the car.
There was a black Labrador in the car who put the car in reverse.
That's gold.
And I wonder if he had his...
Labradors are good drivers.
Oh, well, they
They would be good drivers.
They're better than Rottweiler.
Yeah.
Why would a Rottweiler not be good?
Road rage.
Rottweiler. Do you think they have the window down and they... at the window?
Kelpies, no good.
No. Kelpie. No.
Well, because they drive with their head out the window.
No, that very much amused me.
Here's a call. What dog is the best driver?
Okay.
But what kind of car was it driving?
Yeah. It was just like a regular sedan. It looks like, you know, I don't know, a Falcon or something.
Did it get out while it was driving and chase the tyre and then get back into the car? A car, a dog driving a car is as good as it gets. That should be the next dog show, a Crofts.
Yeah. Yes.
There should be a bit where they get to drive a car.
Well, the police arrived and the fire brigade and they watched the dog do donuts. But finally,
the dog's doing donuts.
Yes. Finally, the car hit some bins and a mailbox and that's how it stopped. And the owner of the dog said, I'm so sorry, we'll pay for your mailbox.
Please. That is hilarious.
That is so funny.
It's doing donuts on the front lawn. Normally a dog drags its own ass on the ground in circles. And leaves a little donut.
Now
it's actually in a car.
I love that. That's brilliant.
One of the stories of the year, as far as I'm concerned.
I love that.
Did he have a belt on? Did he put his belt on?
I don't think he did. But, you know, he was in a court, so it was all right. He didn't have to go far.
I like it. All right. Now, there's a good story here involving cows, dairy cows, from Russia.
Oh, this fascinates me. And I don't quite get it, but anyway.
They've given the cows, in a panic, virtual reality goggles. In the hopes that it would make them happier and they could produce better milk.
Oh.
What's the imagery? What are they watching that makes them happy?
Well, probably the cash cow.
No, I know what it is.
What is it?
It's a wild, expansive field beneath the summer sun. So I guess when you're in Russia, it can get a bit
dull. Here's an idea. Put them in a vast, expansive field.
Yeah.
Yes.
How does that? So there's a picture here of a cow in a paddock.
This is a joke.
Virtual reality.
That's not true.
Do you reckon
we've
been had here?
I think we've been had.
Do you reckon I've been spoofed? I really hope it's true.
They're really thinking
that cow's watching porn.
Well, some
that cow is
cow
seriously
porn.
What
does cow porn involve?
Lots of butters.
A bit of Marlboro man.
Some Wagyu farmers apparently set mood lighting to make their Wagyu.
Do you know, this is true.
Happy, yeah.
The proper Wagyu, like the original Wagyu, if you track it back. I've had this argument with you before and you don't believe me, but it's true.
Okay.
In fact, I think I was proven correct, as usual.
Leading the witness.
The original Wagyu cows were strapped up in a strap and suspended from the roof, so they didn't put their feet on the ground.
No, I still don't believe this story.
You looked it up.
But it's cruel.
Yeah, but that's a different argument.
They wouldn't do that. Mm. No, they wouldn't do that.
The Japanese who like harpoon whales. Yeah. What, wouldn't,
which you support.
Which I do support. But no, there's a true story.
Really?
They used to put them in a harness and then raise them off the ground so that they wouldn't build muscle in their legs.
Oh.
So they would just sit there and it all become very marbled and fatty.
No, all right, I'm going to look that up.
They do the same to me after every show.
I just had an image of you, actually.
I was lurking.
All right.
In a holster.
Hold that thought.
I will.
Hey, check it out in the break. You'll find them right. Look it up. Producers are onto it right now. I think you'll find, once again, Mickey gets the chockies.
All right. Lots more to come with our Gone Wild up next.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
And this is Kennedy Malloy's Gone Wild.
I'm telling you, it's... No, Wagyu. Oh, you know you found it, but
they
can't.
They have beer and massages.
Yes, this is for Wagyu. That's a good life for the old.
Well, that's good, but being suspended and
I'd like to be Wagyu. So I get beer massages and I get suspended just above the ground so you
can't use your legs.
I don't have to walk.
Yeah.
You would like to be put in.
Do I get to wear a nappy?
Like a baby sling, isn't it?
Shut up, Dave.
All right, sorry.
You're taking it too far. You really have. Why do you go and ruin everything?
It's when you said nappy. Don't say that.
Hey, guys. Now, I know it's Animal Kingdom, but
yes.
I also think we're wandering dangerously into this territory.
We interrupt this program.
My message is...
How dare you?
Apocalypse Watch!
This is not a test.
The world as we know it. Open mass extinction.
Kennedy Malloy's
Apocalypse Watch.
This is right in there.
Uh-oh, what are you going
to
say?
This is a big story. Millions of cockroaches are set to swarm homes
around
Australia during perfect breeding conditions.
Oh, no.
This summer. This could be... Now, that's a sign of the apocalypse.
Because you can't kill them.
Well, and they're the only things that are said will survive a nuclear...
Those are not a butchros.
Not a butchros, Steve.
She's the head of the ABC, I'll have you know.
Yeah, she was going to be head of SBS, but she couldn't pronounce it. FBS. I'd like to be head of FBS.
Planning any shows on the ABC soon?
Nope.
What's wrong with you?
All right. Apocalypse.
That's why she didn't take the job.
Okay.
Cockroaches.
Yeah, so we got a new story on this?
Yeah.
We got it.
Yeah. Here's the story.
A dry winter followed by recent humidity has created perfect breeding conditions, with millions of the insects invading homes and businesses. Pest controllers have reported a 30% increase in cockroach call-outs.
Uh-oh. That's just hideous. And, I think if you're going to look, they like to go between wall cracks, roof voids, and in electrical appliances.
And they stink too if you stand on one.
Do they?
See, this is typical.
Never smelled.
This conversation is typical. They don't get much love, the old cockroach.
They're ugly.
What's your essential beef?
Well, they walk in a creepy manner.
Yeah.
They sort of scatter.
But crabs are fine.
Crabs need to do that for an obvious reason. Their legs are longer.
They're looking sideways.
Yeah, but they're amusing.
It's not wrong.
Comedy sort of thing.
But what's a cockroach doing?
Well, they hang around in filth.
Is this sneaky?
Yeah.
They're duplicitous. They don't make pets. No one has a pet cockroach, do they?
Does anyone eat a cockroach? You know, like, you know, you go to some Asian countries and they eat insects and grasshoppers. And
I'm sure they would.
Can you woof a bowl of cockroaches?
Could you dip it in chocolate? Pretty crunchy, wouldn't it?
If you dip anything in chocolate.
No, cockroach would be particularly crunchy because they've got a very hard shell.
Mm.
Did you say they
just
stink?
Like a chocolate milkshake only crunchy.
Speaking of things getting stuck in electrical goods.
Yes, please, fire away. What do you got?
Do you know about the dog, the Shih Tzu?
Do you know what a Shih Tzu is, Dave?
No, what's a Shih Tzu, Mick?
It's a zoo without any animals. It's a Shih Tzu.
So, you know that present I gave you, I can't remember, was it for your birthday?
Yeah, I've got it here.
Oh, it's the Roomba.
It's my sexy French-made Roomba. Yeah. It's a Roomba, but it has a French-made outfit on top.
The robot vacuum.
Like a Roomba.
Stonewall. He's an elderly Shih Tzu when his owner, Megan, was doing chores.
Oh, well. Get the vacuum going in these three rooms before company tomorrow morning.
The robot vacuum got to work. Megan knew something wasn't right, when she noticed the vacuum had shut off.
I bend down to turn it back on, and he kind of whimpers at me. I'm like, thinking, oh no, you're in it.
Two officers showed up at Megan's door to free Stonewall. They realized only the hair on his tail was caught.
Is that a bit of a beat up? Woman has dog hair caught in Roomba.
The dog's tail's caught in a Roomba. I accidentally cut my dog's tail off.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, just the tip. She got caught. She was following us. We were going away.
Which dog?
Yeah.
Indy.
Oh, my God.
Indy?
Yeah.
You cut her tail off.
The tip of her tail. There was blood everywhere. It was traumatizing. We were going away, the whole household, and she could see all the bags, and she was freaking out. She wouldn't leave my side. I was a real rush leaving.
Right.
I shut the bedroom door.
Oh.
And her tail got caught in the crack of the door that I slammed shut.
Crushed her tail.
That dog should be taken off you.
Yeah.
That dog.
How do you think I felt leaving her with someone, with Mary? Yeah. I left her with Mary at our house, who was looking after her.
Right.
Blood all over me.
Mary
blood
would have
everywhere.
Done a better job than you, obviously.
Oh, she did, because she was calmer than I was.
Why didn't you dock the tail?
Well, it's a very long tail.
Yeah, but that's why you dock it.
No, she won't let us touch her tail again.
I think you're a bit old to be docked now.
I'm old-fashioned, but I like docking tails.
A bit of a Doberman docking. What would Dobermans look like if they had their proper tails?
That'd be ridiculous.
No,
they'd be laughable.
That's our nature intended. Anyway. Yeah.
Thank you. Well done.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
And it's all thanks to the Holden Colorado with 7 years free scheduled servicing across the 4x4 range.
Well, bloody done. Everyone down there at Holden. And everyone who's had anything to do with the Colorado. It's a work of art.
We've loved talking about the Colorado. And
it's like the Concorde. It's the Concorde of automotive machinery. The high watermark.
Yes.
It should be in a museum somewhere.
I see them everywhere now.
Or a gallery somewhere. And you just, a sighting. You know, people go train spotting.
Yeah. That's what I do.
Or people go out to the airport and
I look for them everywhere.
30 people like Dave.
I love it.
But you could sit there and just go, oh, there's another
Well, they've got
Colorado.
Everything, you see. They're a great like work car and their vehicle, and they're also somewhere you can go for recreation.
Yeah.
You can take them out on everything. The beach. You can take them to the mountains, to the snow. They're so diverse.
I could take your word for it, or I could speak to Pete, who's a Colorado owner. Not? How are you, Pete?
I'm excellent.
That's the way, mate. Where have you taken your Holden Colorado?
Oh, I've been everywhere. I tow a big caravan with it, a 3-ton van with it all over the place. And
well, you've got half a ton to spare because you can tow 3.5-ton capacity.
Yeah. So you've got 6-ton GVM, so they're a pretty good vehicle.
How good is it having a caravan? I've dreamed of having a caravan, but we can't all fit in one. So
you'll
I don't
end up living in one one day.
I would love that. That's my destiny. I hope I do.
You'll end up doing living in a caravan parked on my front lawn. And I'd run out stuff for you.
You would?
Yeah.
And the problem is, good to me, Pete.
It is. Now, where are you going to take the Colorado next, Pete?
We're going over the Nullarbor at Christmas.
Oh, bang. Really?
You're in safe hands. If I had to go across the Nullarbor, which is one of the great drives of the world, you're out there, you're flying without a net, what way would you rather go in the cabin?
What work do you do, Peter?
Holden, Colorado.
I'm an earthmoving. We're in an operator of a big machine. We're doing a big dig in Doncaster. So,
you needed a vehicle that was, you know what? Yeah. When you rock up in your Holden, Colorado, they go, hang on, here's Pete and his
Colorado. Serious? He means business.
I keep it clean. They all just go, ooh.
Why'd you choose the Colorado?
It was my second one, and they're just for towing, they're just awesome. You can't beat them.
Well done,
Peter. We love hearing about that. Thanks, Pete. Have a great weekend.
Luckiest man.
Enjoy your Nullarbor trip.
Enjoy the Nullarbor. Yeah, you know what you'll do? If I was doing the Nullarbor, I'd go real slow.
Yeah.
I'd say, come on, Nullarbor, is this all you got?
Yeah.
You can't touch me.
Oh, dear.
I'm in the behemoth.
Good for you.
Well, thanks to Holden again and the 7 years free scheduled servicing across the 4x4 range.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Front bar tonight, 8:30.
I have to go straight away. Ricky Ponting.
I cannot wait.
One of the great batsmen of the modern era. Remember last week, Brian Lara. Yeah. This week, Ricky Ponting.
Great.
Name me two better batsmen.
I know. I love hearing Ricky Ponting talk, and I haven't heard enough of him. Sit back and have a chat, and I think he'll be really relaxed.
Once you've been captain of Australia, that's, they argue, the biggest job in Australia. It's more important than Prime Minister. They often say his two jobs.
It's pretty amazing.
Prime Minister of Australia and captain of the Australian cricket team.
Jeez. Such an honour.
Australian cricket team, generally, if you had to choose, most guys would go, that's the one.
And did you say Dougie Walters also?
And Doug Walters, we've got some great old footage of Doug Walters. Do you know he made 100 in a session? in a session.
He seems a pretty low-key bloke to me.
He used to sit in the change rooms while the test was on playing cards. And if he
that's
had,
what I mean.
He had a good hand, if he had a good hand, he'd go outside, I'll be back in a second.
So he ever, his heart rate would be just nice. Yeah.
That's it. He, talk about one of the, and played in those great sides, he Ian Chappell sides. He's, there'll be so much to talk about.
That's
please
huge.
Have a listen. Wherever you are in the country, 8:30.
Catch it, everyone.
Channel 7 or 8:40.
Don't miss it. It's so funny.
Hey, who's on our show tomorrow, Jane?
We've got an absolute corker of a show. We've got Jim Jefferies.
Whoa.
We've got James Rain.
Good Lord.
And a track that James is also playing.
Yeah.
And we've also
we
got,
played up here a couple of nights ago in our building, and we've got a live recording of it.
We have. And we've also got our great mate Denise Scott coming on. So
Denise
stick around for that tomorrow.
Bring
what a massive show.
Yes.
Mix GoFundMe, Clown of the Week. Oh, it'll be huge. Great, the podcast from today's show. It's been a ripper. KennedyMalloy.com.au. Back to drive you home tomorrow. Kennedy Malloy.
Another Kennedy Malloy adventure is complete. And with the Holden Colorado, every day is an adventure. Now with 7 years free scheduled servicing across the 4x4 range, you're free to take on anything. Visit Holden.com for more details.